This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Welcome, dear brothers and sisters, to our third episode, whereby we are taking topics from the Quran and looking at how Allah Almighty has addressed them for us. In the first episode, we spoke about how the Quran spoke about happiness. In the second episode, we spoke about how the Quran addressed the issue of ihsan, excellence. And today we will be speaking about how the Book of Allah, the Quran, has addressed the topic of popularity and fame. And what do I mean by this? The popularity of people, or is it a concept far wider? We shall find out. Man, by his nature, is far more inclined to that which is immediate, as opposed to that which is eventual. And man, by his nature, he is also far more inclined to what is huge in quantity and size, as opposed to something that is far smaller. And so because of this perception, or because of this inclination we naturally have, we can make the wrong decisions in life at times. And so we are in need, in desperate need, as a matter of fact, for guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to manage our perceptions so that we don't make the wrong decisions in life based upon how popular something is, how famous something is, how accessible a matter is, how glittery, how glossy something looks. Because of these things, we may make the wrong decisions in life. And so Allah has given us an ayah from the Quran to help manage these perceptions of ours. Open up your copy of the Quran, dear brother, dear sister, please, at this moment in time. Turn to chapter 5, ayah 100. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثُ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Say to the people, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the evil and the good, they are not equal. Even though you may be impressed by the sheer size of the evil, so fear Allah, O people of understanding, so that you may be successful. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. An ayah that is managing our perceptions, that rearranges our thoughts, so that our judgments are not skewed and our decisions are not flawed. We are not to measure something by its size, by its quantity, by its popularity, even if everyone is clapping for it and everyone is promoting it. Rather, we are to judge a matter by the purity of it, how good it is, even if it is far more rare and it is a lot less popular. This concept of not judging something by its size is a concept that we subscribe to, dear brothers and sisters, by the way, as human beings. If somebody was to offer you a whole crate of iPhones, but then you found out that they are all fake, they wouldn't mean anything to you, even if there were 100 of them. You would prefer one iPhone, just one, if it was a true original copy. The same thing applies to medicine. If somebody gives you a whole sack of the most expensive medicine that you need, but then you found out that they are counterfeit, you wouldn't take a single tablet of them. You would prefer one tablet, just one, over that entire pack that is fake. So we apply this principle sometimes in our lives, and I'm going to give four examples from the Quran and from the Sunnah to make these examples that which is pure is always to be opted for in the face of that which is not so pure or not so good, and to show you that this is the standard that was given to us by Allah Almighty, inspired by this ayah that we are reading. We are now going to go through four examples to make that comparison between that which is good and that which is not so good, and to show you how from this ayah that we will apply on these four case studies, we will be able to make the correct judgment in life. Consider with me the very first example, and then we will apply this ayah and measure it using it. Consider with me the very first example. The one who cares about the hereafter and uses all of his resources and life, time and effort to prepare for it, is he or she like the one who does not care about the hereafter and does not pursue it at all? They are not the same according to the ayah, even if you are impressed by the sheer size of the latter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, أَفَمَنْ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ الْحَقُّ كَمَنْ هُوَ أَعْمَى. is the one who knows that what has been revealed to you, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is the truth from your Lord. Is he like the one who is blind? Allahu Akbar, they are not the same. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الْأَعْمَى وَالْبَصِيرُ أَمْ هَلْ تَسْتَوِي الظُّلُمَاتُ وَالنُّورُ. Is the one who can see like the one who cannot see? Meaning with respect to Islam. And Allah says, is the one who is in light like the one who is in darkness? Light and darkness, are they the same? They are not the same. لا إله إلا الله. Allah says, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Say to the people, are the ones who know equal to the ones who do not know? Allahu Akbar. So they are not the same, dear brothers and sisters. Consider with me the words of one very confused poet, Ilya Abu Madi, who said, describing his dilemma of confusion and not knowing where he came from and where he is going and his purpose in life. He said, جِئْتُ لَا أَعْلَمُ مِنْ أَيْنَ وَلَكِنِّي أَتَيْتُ. He says, I have come into existence. I don't know from where, but nevertheless, I am here. وَلَقَدْ أَبْصَرْتُ قُدَّامِي طَرِيقًا فَمَشَيْتُ. And I see in front of me a path, so I'm just walking aimlessly. وَسَأَمْضِي فِي طَرِيقِي هَذَا شِئْتُ هَذَا أَمْ أَبَيْتُ. And I will continue walking upon this path seemingly, whether I want to or whether I don't want to. كَيْفَ جِئْتُ كيف أبصرت قدامي طريقا لست أدري. How have I come into existence? How have I seen this path ahead of me? I do not know, he says. Confusion, misery, inner spiritual chaos, darkness. لا إله إلا الله. Can these words be compared to the words of confidence and happiness that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say in the introduction to his prayer at night? What would he say? Listen to these words and make the comparison and tell me if they are equal. He would say, Allahumma lakal hamdu anta qayyumus samawati wal ardi wa man fihin. O Allah, all praise belongs to you. You are the holder of the heavens and the earth and everything within them. Walakal hamdu laka mulku samawati wal ardi wa man fihin. And all praise belongs to you. You are the possessor of the heavens and the earth and everything within them. وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ أَنْتَ نُورُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَنْ فِيهِنَّ. And all praise belongs to you. You are the light of the heavens and the earth and everything within them. وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ أَنْتَ مَلِكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَنْ فِيهِنَّ. And all praise belongs to you. You are the possessor, the king of the heavens and the earth and everything within them. وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ. All praise belongs to you. أَنْتَ الْحَقُّ. You are the truth. وَوَعْدُكَ حَقٌّ. Your promise is the truth. وَلِقَاؤُكَ حَقٌّ. And meeting you is the truth. وَقَوْلُكَ حَقٌّ. And your speech is the truth. وَالْجَنَّةُ حَقٌّ. وَالنَّارُ حَقٌّ. Paradise and hell, they are the truth. وَالسَّاعَةُ حَقٌّ. The day of judgment, it is the truth. اللهم لك أسلمت. O Allah, I have surrendered to you. وَبِكَ آمَنْت. I have believed in you. وَإِلَيْكَ أَنَبْت. And I turn to you in repentance. وَبِكَ خَاصَمْت. And I argue in you. وَإِلَيْكَ حَاكَمْت. And you are my judge. فَغْفِرْ لِي مَا قَدَّمْتُ وَمَا أَخَّرْتُ. So forgive my past and previous sins and future sins. وَمَا أَسْرَرْتُ وَمَا أَعْلَنْتُ. And the sins I have concealed and the sins I have revealed. أَنْتَ الْمُقَدِّمُ وَأَنْتَ الْمُؤَخِّرُ. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. You are the one who brings people forward and pulls other people back. None has the right to be worshipped but you. Is there a comparison, dear brothers and sisters? Words of misery and the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam of confidence and happiness, they are not the same. Yes, I completely agree with you. Those who don't know the hereafter and have no desire to pursue it, whether Muslims or otherwise, their lifestyles may come across as far more attractive than those who do. And their voices may be far louder than those voices who do. But are they the same? Look at the ayah in front of you and you tell me if it's the same. Comparison number two, incomes. Money that is sourced from the halal, the permissible, and money that is sourced from the haram, the impermissible, are they the same? According to the ayah in front of you, they are not the same. Even if we are impressed by the sheer quantity and returns of money that comes from haram, consider with me the effects of halal money and haram money on the Day of Judgment and we will see the difference. If a person was to present Allah Almighty with an earth full of impermissible money, Allah Almighty will reject it. On the other hand, if a person was to offer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala something as small as a date or a grain that was sourced from pure money, Allah Almighty will accept it and amplify it as well. Allahu Akbar. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as Bukhari and Muslim narrate on the authority of Abi Huraira, he says, من تصدق بعدل تمرة من كسب طيب ولا يقبل الله إلا الطيب. Whoever gives charity, even as something as small as a date, but it was from money that is halal and pure, فإن الله يقبلها بيمينه. Allah Almighty will accept that charity and He will receive it in His right hand. ثم يربيها لصاحبها, and Allah will nurture that charity and cause it to grow. كما يربي أحدكم فلوه, the same way that you nurture your mare, your small horse. Allah nurtures that charity till that charity, that date, is on the Day of Judgment the size of a mountain. Allahu Akbar. Why? Because the money that you gave it from was pure. Now, considering what you just heard, contrast this with another hadith where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam spoke about money from haram, the impermissible sources. He said, as Ahmad narrates on the authority of Ibn Mas'ud, الربa وإن كثر فإن عاقبته إلى قل. He says, money that was sourced from interest, usury, even if it is huge in amount, the outcome will always be a loss. Allahu Akbar. And therefore, the Muslim who sees people living in the biggest of houses, wearing the finest of clothes, and driving the most expensive of cars, if that money was sourced from the impermissible, it does not impress him or her in the least. And how could it impress them when they know that their dunya is at stake and their dua is under threat and their welfare, their well-being, their sleep, their sanity, their children, their life underground in the grave, all of this is under threat. Yes, I completely agree with you. Those who source their money from impermissible avenues are perhaps far more than those who are bringing their money from the halal, but are they equal? The verse that we are studying makes it clear that they are not equal. Let us pause here, dear brothers and sisters, for a few minutes and make sure that you are with us after the break. Welcome back, dear brothers and sisters. Allow me to continue from where we stopped off. This is our third example, making the comparison inspired by the ayah that is in front of you from Surah 5, ayah 100. The element of relationships, a relationship in halal versus a relationship from haram, the impermissible, are they the same? Well, consider with me the one who follows a relationship outside of wedlock, a covert relationship, that is, under the cover of night, to spend a short-lived moment with him or her of pleasure, that is followed by an excruciating amount of guilt and sorrow and piercing pain, because they know exactly what they've gotten themselves into. They know exactly how the Prophet ﷺ described the fornicating men and the fornicating women. They know exactly what will happen to them in the hereafter. They know what Allah Almighty said about them in the Quran, where He said, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Don't go anywhere near fornication. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. Allah says it is an abomination of a sin, and it is a very evil path to follow. Are they happy? And then if she was to become pregnant, it is followed by even more sorrow and guilt and conspiring. And then in many cases, it is followed by abortion as well, which is followed by more sorrow and guilt. And if someone was to knock on their door during those moments of relations, they will pounce like cats because they know that what they are in is wrong and sinful. Where is the happiness in that? Where is the barakah, the blessing in that? Is this comparable in any way to he or she who follows a relationship in the halal, waiting patiently for the correct spouse to come knocking on his or her door, for them to then take part in a walima, in a wedding feast where everyone is invited, it is a public invitation, everyone is happy and making dua for them, giving them gifts and la ilaha illallah, and then that evening if matrimonial relations take place, it is one of happiness and sakina and tranquility, they have nothing to worry about, and should someone knock on their door, they're not afraid, they respond or they reject, because they are in something that is halal and pleasing to Allah, and there is reward in what they are doing as well. Are they the same? Are they equal? And then if she was to get pregnant, it is even more happiness, Allahu Akbar, an extension to your legacy as a Muslim man, a Muslim woman, And then when finally she delivers the child, we have a aqiqah, a feast for this new child, and gifts and happiness and dua. Are they equal, dear brothers and sisters? There is no example, there is no comparison whatsoever. Yes, I agree with you, those who pursue relationships outside of wedlock, in the haram, the prohibited, may be more than those who show patience. But are they the same? According to the ayah that is in front of you, they are not the same. The fourth and final example that I wanted to share with you in terms of the comparison is the life of sin versus the life of repentance. Are they the same? Allahu Akbar. By Allah, they are not the same. And just ask those men and those women who have repented to Allah from their ways of the past. They will tell you, and you will see it from the joy in their faces, that they are not the same lifestyles in the least. Allahu Akbar. Consider with me the life of repentance. Ibrahim ibn Adham, he would say, لَوْ يَعْلَمُ الْمُلُوكُ وَأَبْنَاءُ الْمُلُوكُ مَا نَحْنُ فِيهِ مِنَ النَّعِيمِ لَجَالَدُونَ عَلَيْهِ بِالسُّيُوفِ. If the kings and the sons of the kings knew of the type of life of happiness that we were living as Muslims, they would fight us over it with their swords. Ibrahim ibn Adham used to be a king himself. He used to be a man of authority himself. He knows about authority and what it tastes like. But he says with Islam, with repentance, there is no comparison. Others from our predecessors have said, إِنَّهُ لَيَمُرُّ بِي أَوْقَاتٍ أَقُولُ فِيهَا إِنْ كَانَ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ فِي مِثْلِ هَذَا النَّعِيمِ إِنَّهُمْ لَفِي عَيْشٍ طَيِّبٍ. He says, sometimes here on earth, I experience moments of joy and happiness as a Muslim that I would say to myself, if the people of paradise are feeling what I am feeling now, they would be living a beautiful life. Allahu Akbar. Have you felt that life, dear brothers and sisters, of repentance and being close to Allah and praying on time, wearing the correct Islamic hijab? Have you felt this happiness, this joy before? Compare it with the life of sin, dear brother, dear sister. Compare it with that inner anxiety that a person experiences knowing that he is distant, far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Almighty said about them, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَمْكَ وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. Whoever turns away from my remembrance, Allah says, we will give them a miserable life and we will resurrect them on the day of judgment completely blind. Allahu Akbar. Sadness, darkness, misery, inner chaos. Consider the words of Sulaiman al-Taymi. He would say, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيُصِيبُ الذَّنْبَ بِالسِّرِّ فَيُصْبِحُ عَلَيْهِ مَذَلَّتُهُ. There may be a person, he says, who commits a sin at night, and by day, the humiliating effects of that sin can be seen on his face. Allahu Akbar. It can be seen on his face. So yes, I agree with you. Those who live a life of sin, perhaps, and use their weekends and their evenings in the most despicable of ways, are perhaps far more than those who reject these offerings with patience, finding strength in salah and dua and the Quran. But are they the same? Are they equal? According to the ayah in front of you, they are not equal. In fact, there is one ayah in the Quran that was so powerful, making this comparison between the life of sin and the life of repentance and obedience, that it caused one companion, Tamim ibn Aws al-Dari, to recite it and repeat it over and over and over again in his prayer, from al-Isha, the night prayer, all the way until just before dawn. Repeating it and crying, repeating it and crying. What is the ayah? It is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ اجْتَرَحُوا السَّيِّئَاتِ أَنْ نَجْعَلَهُمْ كَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَوَاءً مَحْيَاهُمْ وَمَمَاتُهُمْ سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. Do those who commit sins, Allah said, think that we're going to make them like those who believe and they do good, both in their life and in during their death? How evil is their judgment? They are not the same. Yes, I agree with you, dear brothers and sisters. Those who use their night as opportunities to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are perhaps far more than those who use those moments of privacy to worship Allah Almighty. But are they the same? According to the ayah in front of you, they are not the same. In conclusion, use this verse that you have just come across from Surah Al-Ma'idah chapter 5 to measure all of the things around you, whether they are beliefs, or financial transactions, or friends, or job opportunities, or marriage opportunities, or their likes. When considering an outing on a weekend, don't ask yourself the question, what are people up to? Rather, ask yourself the question, what should I be up to? When it comes to choosing the style of hijab that you wish to be wearing, dear sister, don't ask yourself the question, what's trending? Rather, ask yourself the question, what is required? This is all inspired by the ayah in front of us. This is how we measure whether something is correct or whether something is wrong, certainly not by its popularity and not by its rarity. In short, dear brothers and sisters, this ayah that we are studying, this principle of an ayah, really helps the believer to view the world and its choices through the lens of the hereafter, judging a matter by its purity, by its goodness, by its permissibility, as opposed to size and glamour and accessibility and dominance in culture. This ayah really helps to straighten out our perceptions and helps us make the correct decisions in life. Allah Almighty, however, is Ash-Shakur. He is the most grateful. And He will not allow you or me or any other Muslim to go empty-handed if they make a conscious effort in their life to always opt for that which is tayyib, that which is pure, that which is good. Always making it on the top of their list of priorities when there is a conflict of interest, they ask themselves the question, how will I choose that which is pure? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them something back. He will give them so much back since they always made a conscious effort to choose what is tayyib, what is good, what is pure. Allah will give them a life that is pure, a dying that will be tayyib, pure, and palaces, mansions in Jannah that will be tayyib, good and pure. La ilaha illallah. What are the evidences, you will say to me? Take the first. A life that is tayyib, a life that is pure, a life that is happy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, man amila salihan, whoever works good deeds, min dhakarin aw untha, whether male or female, wa huwa mu'min, whilst being a believer, فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا, we shall cause them to live a life that is طَيِّب, pure. Allahu Akbar. A life that is happy, a life that is good. We said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also give them a dying, an ending that will be pure. La ilaha illallah. Comfortable, fearless, confident, knowing that you are going to meet a Lord who is happy with you. What is the evidence? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, الَّذِينَ تَتَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ طَيِّبِينَ يَقُولُونَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ أُدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah says, they are those righteous people whom the angels will take away their souls in a pure state, saying to them, سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ, peace be upon you. Enter Jannah because of what you used to do. Allahu Akbar. A dying that is tayyib, a dying that is one of goodness and happiness. As for the third, we said, a home in Jannah that is good, tayyib and pure. Allahu Akbar. What is the evidence for this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Allah has promised the believing men and the believing women, جَنَّاتٍ تَجِرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ, gardens beneath which rivers flow, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, and they will stay there eternally. وَمَسَاكِنَ طَيِّبَةً فِي جَنَّاتِ عَدٍ, and homes that are tayyib, homes, mansions, palaces that are good and pure, within gardens of perpetual residence. وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرٌ, and the greatest of all bliss will be the pleasure of Allah. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ, that is the supreme success. Allahu Akbar, dear brothers and sisters. In conclusion, it can be very difficult to see through the glossy outer layer of the khabith, the impure, or that which is not good, because of how dominant it is in culture, and how many people have subscribed to it, and how badly ridiculed are those who don't subscribe to it. And therefore it requires long-term thinking and intellect and wisdom and dua and God consciousness. And that is why the verse continues and ends with, that is the verse that is in front of you, the verse ends with, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, so fear Allah, O people of understanding, so that you may be successful. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who are successful. In our next episode, we're going to be looking at another topic which the Qur'an addresses, and that's going to be the topic of how the Qur'an speaks about the true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So make sure you join us then.